Sat Nam, everyone, and welcome to the 11 Yogic Arts of Creative Living, a podcast that examines spiritual practices, in particular Kundalini Yoga, through the lens of creativity. The 11 Yogic Arts of Creative Living is a book I recently published, which is a yogic guidebook for artists and an artistic guidebook for yogis, but most of all, an every person's guide to living an extraordinary creative life. Hi, everyone. This is Raghubir, and in today's podcast, I'm going to play a segment of a class that I gave about a week or 2 weeks ago on clarity. And it's kind of a part two of a series on crystallization. It's a subject that I really like to talk about and to teach because, you know, we usually run from pressure. And Yogi Bhajan said that, you know, when you have this pressure of like what's going on in the outside of you and what's going on in the inside of you, this pressure actually elevates you and brings you clarity of mind. I'm going to read to you something which I think is a really incredible, incredible quote. He said here that basically, with this life, you have to go through crystallization. Crystallization is secret of life. It is secret of radiance. It is the crystallization, and crystallization cannot take place under pressure without pressure. Under that extreme pressure, crystallization will take place. In case of that extreme crystallization, purity will be there. Otherwise, there will be air bubbles, and there will be crystallization with facets. And that means that air will be, the light will be split. But when there is a clean crystallization, it means total pressure is to the maximum of the atomic analysis of the subject. Then, says the science of physics, the crystal is absolutely clean, its radiance is absolute. And then he says, then what happens? Then you become the nucleus, the hub of happiness. And in the hub of happiness, the world comes to you. You don't go to the world. You become the axle. You become the pivot. You become the leader. And at that point, you become humble enough to serve. Ha! Then it becomes miles and miles and miles of soothingness, smoothness, harmony, total peace, joy, and you excel, you excel, you excel. Good morning, everyone. Sat Nam. I'm happy to see everybody here today. Today is kind of a deepening of last week's class, which was about crystallization. If you remember, some of those of you who were here, I talked a lot about crystallization and how it's basically having clarity of mind. There are many ways to go about having clarity of mind, and today we're going to work on the digestive system for clarity of mind. And you may think, well, what does the digestive system have to do with clarity of mind? I'll tell you, because the digestive system is very linked to the way the mind works, and vice versa. Like when I was growing up, every time I felt bad, and I'm emotionally bad or confused or I felt sick or anything, the first thing my mother would say to me is, did you go to the bathroom? And she felt that, you know, and I guess the way she grew up, that if there was anything wrong, or if you felt bad or depressed or confused, or if you had a headache, anything, that you just went to the bathroom and everything got better. And it's true, it really does. Because if your digestion is bad, so is your thinking. Now, how many times have you, realized that when you have kind of confused thinking, it's usually because you're not digesting your food properly. Isn't that true? I know that that's true because it definitely happens to me. How you process your food is linked to how you process your mind. And how you process your mind is related to how you process your food. If you're under a lot of stress, don't you all have
digestive issues, right? A lot of you have digestive issues, which is directly related to stress, right? So the two of them go hand in hand. So if you're, a lot of times, if you're feeling kind of fuzzy, it usually means that you're not processing your food properly. And I've talked about this many times, that you should not be eating any kind of food that you cannot digest, because if you can't digest it, it hangs around, not just the food itself, but the toxins and the byproducts and the acids and all of those things and the gases that happens when you are not processing your food. So if you're a woman, it should be 18 to 24 hours. The food should be, you know, through your system. And if you're a man, it should be maximum 24 hours. The other thing too is, like, if you are, I know a lot of people who have very severe digestive issues, and a lot of it is just directly linked to worry. And you may not think you're a worrier, but if you have digestive issues, I can almost guarantee you that you worry a lot. Just putting that out there. I'm not accusing anybody of anything, but it's definitely, it goes hand in hand. So, you know, there are ways to have clarity of mind. So today's class, I think I called it Get Clear. And clarity of mind comes from activating sort of compassion, because Yogi Bhajan said that clarity of mind gives you compassion, because it activates the heart space. It activates the neutrality. That's what I said last week, was that, you know, when you have this kind of pressure that you have, or that breeds this kind of crystallization, because you have crystallization coming from the pressure, what that crystallization, that clarity of mind really is neutrality. It's having a neutral mind. It's like seeing things as they are, and that way you don't get confused. Like if you're trying to make a decision and you can't make that decision, that's a good opportunity to like start working on various things. Like one thing you could work on is of course, meditation will bring you always clarity of mind. That's one of the things that meditation does. Also, a lot of the work that we do in Kundalini Yoga is to balance the, not only the nervous system, but also to balance the endocrine system, the glandular system. When you balance the glandular system, then your moods and everything is a lot more even. You're not like this so much, you're kind of like this a little bit, so that you have fluctuations in your personality and your mood, but you're not going all over the place. When something bad happens, you don't like totally freak out and hide out in your room for 2 weeks. You can handle it. And that's directly related to not only the strength of the nervous system, but also the glandular system, because you want to have evenness of personality. So that you should kind of like look at things and you're not pulled in opposite directions every time something really great happens and something time really bad happens. And then your mood is directly affected by what's going on outside of you. That was part of the balance I talked about last week. How do you balance the inside of you with the outside of you? That's what crystallization is. But clarity of mind also, not only does it depend on the glandular system and also meditation, you know, balancing the mind, but it also depends on balancing the digestive system. Because the digestive system, if everything is moving through and you're processing your food, you're also processing your ideas, you're processing your feelings, you're processing your emotions, you're processing information. And if you don't process, your food, you're gonna find that you're gonna be more confused and you're gonna be kind of a little, you know, like a little fuzzy. Does this resonate with anybody? Do you find this to be true? It's hard to tell. I mean, there are two people on top with me, but if anybody can give me a thumbs up, so I know that people are getting to me. I've just finished my school year, so I'm going to miss those thumbs up from the classroom. So I'm going to ask you to give me a thumbs up. I think that today's class, well, anybody who's been hanging out with me for a while knows this set. And also, it's one of my favorite sets because it is so effective at doing exactly what I'm talking about. It just really gives you it gives you like a structure around how to conduct your life. And you don't even know it. It just kind of puts everything in its proper place and really works on all of the elements that I'm talking about. Works on the glandular system, works on the mind, works on the electrical system, the nervous system, and it works on the digestive system. So you should feel pretty good. So that's it for my spiel today. So let's begin.
I think it is a good opportunity to start in talking a little bit about healing and the relationship between healing and creativity and how you approach the subject of healing, especially as it relates to clarity of mind. So the amount of doubt that you have actually regarding your own healing is in direct relation to the amount of suffering you have. So to believe in the power of your own healing is a powerful tool for conquering the diseases of the body. If you think you're going to get well, chances are you will. If you kind of like to suffer, then you're not going to get well. It's kind of easy to understand that. But you have to believe in the power of your own healing in order to heal your body, mind, and spirit. And I like to think of healing as a form of creativity whose inflow is a personal and universal rhythmic order, and the impact of which restores the human system to its most pure and balanced form. And there are several categories that directly affect health and that you have easy access to, and many of these categories could be considered part of the art of self-healing, but there are a couple of differences. Also, I'm sure once you look at the list, you'll say to yourself, oh yeah, that. But these things are so blatantly obvious, yet when we are not feeling well, we very seldom think of them. So for each category, I'll pose a series of questions, and then that will hopefully get the ball rolling. So the first thing is, of course, the foods you eat. And this is what we were talking about before when we were talking about digestion. Then the thoughts you think, you know, as you think, therefore you shall be, or as Yogi Bhajan said, where you plug your mind, that's something, it's a paraphrase, where you plug your mind, that's how you shall be. How you process stress, of course. Stress completely destroys your digestion, and stress makes you very ill. Pineal renovation, which is something I'll go into a little later, but the pineal gland is responsible for a lot of not only your awareness, but also your health, and regulates your metabolism, and it regulates your glandular system. So if the pineal gland is not working properly, and it's calcified, you can go down the wrong road. So what I like to do is advise people to kind of decalcify their pineal gland by doing things like not using fluoride products. That's like the easiest thing to do, is just buy toothpaste that doesn't have fluoride in it. That's one way, but we'll go deeper into that. Then, of course, keeping a healthy rhythm, because a healthy rhythm equals health, and art making and pattern making. So anytime you make art or do something creative is a form of healing that really helps. And the making of patterns, or you know, even chanting and repetition, all of these things really help one's health and one's clarity of mind. Now, so let's just start, first of all, with the foods you eat, since we were talking a lot about the digestion in that class that I played a portion of. So have you ever pondered the phrase, you are what you eat? Do you consider that food that you eat is medicine? And have you had direct experience with conscious eating? I know many people have gone on diets and they've gone on fasts and special eating regimes. But did you ever really think, the food that you put into your body will really have a direct result on your health and how much you eat and when you eat? And all of these things can be kind of customized to your body's true nature. And in Ayurvedic medicine, we have different constitutions, and you can eat to your constitution to balance and bring about health and healing. So a big part of the yogic art of healing is having consciousness about what you put in your mouth. After all, as part of your creative inflow, you might consider what you eat to be a very important part of creative living. Having sustainable energy, healthy elimination, and a clear mind goes into being productive and successful, whether you're an artist or, you know, whatever you're doing. If you're a focused and disciplined spiritual practitioner, it certainly helps. If you feel tired and unfocused, you can't get your work done. If you eat foods that are low in prana, in other words, energy, like processed foods, for example, you won't feel very sharp and your energy will wane quickly. And if you eat foods that you don't eliminate within 24 hours, let's just say it, you shouldn't be eating it at all. If it hangs around in your stomach and intestines for more than 24 hours, it will create an unhealthy environment inside of you. And believe me, you won't feel much like being either creative or meditative, and certainly not productive. I'm not going to go into the minutiae of the yogic diet, which is based on the healing science of Ayurveda, and it is utterly fascinating. But I will share some dietary tips, recipes, and hacks that I have found to be foolproof for general well-being, healing, quick energy, and system rebalancing. And they come directly from the teachings of Yogi Bhajan and Ayurveda, and they will serve you very, very well. The yogis divide foods into three main groups: sun foods, earth foods, and ground foods. Now, sun foods, like fruits, nuts, avocados, dates, and coconuts, grow more than 3 feet off the ground. Because they absorb so much energy from the sun, they give you a lot of quick, etheric energy, and they're so perfect when you feel that you want to eat lightly and elevate your consciousness. They're really good for when you want to meditate. And they're good for elders who tend to get bogged down with the heavier foods anyway, and for heavily boned people and slow-moving people. This will give them sort of more pep in their step. Now, earth foods grow in the earth, under the soil, and have great energy from the earth and some energy from the sun. So they get the energy from both the ground and the sun. And some of these are things like radishes and onions and garlic and ginger and beets, carrots, turnips, potatoes, and other root foods and peanuts. And these foods are perfect for those who have a nervous dispositions and they need, you know, kind of grounding. Earth foods are the most healing of the three food groups, and they give you the kind of energy that you need for physical work and worldly affairs. And if ever you feel very lightheaded or you feel kind of nervous and you feel like you need grounding, a really great way to do that is to eat foods that are root vegetables. They do get sun energy, but it's more indirect, you know, because the greens that grow above the earth absorb the sun energy, but most of the growing takes place under the earth. And it's a good idea to eat more earth foods in the winter months or when it's cold outside, because they have a tendency to fight infection. Now, the third one, vegetables and fruits that grow just above the surface, those are ground foods, and they get most of the energy from the earth and a little less from the sun, and they're very cleansing and very high in nutrients. And examples would be green vegetables, breads, beans, and rice. Now, that being said, food is the medicine which creates equilibrium in the body. And eating balanced food that does not put a strain on your body creates a healing environment. And if you eat sustaining foods, you'll have joy in your life. So food that stresses your body will destroy you and give you dis-ease. It will make you sick. So you want to eat food that is easy to digest, nourishes you, sustains you, and gives you lots of energy. I'd like to end today's podcast with reading a list of rules for healthy eating and preparation of food, which I hope will give you some idea of how to go about bringing more clarity and balance and health into your life around your digestion. So number one, prepare and serve your food with love and care and try to eat in a calm environment. Eating on the run or standing at the kitchen counter is not the most optimum way to eat. Number two, bless your food, be in gratitude, and eat consciously. You know, slow it down a bit. Number three, eat to live, don't live to eat. Number four, avoid snacking between meals and eat fewer meals if you can. Eat only when you are hungry and not just when the clock says it's time to eat. Number five, chew your food well. Yogi Bhajan used to say that your stomach doesn't have teeth. Number six, when you are 3/4 full, stop eating. You need to leave some room for digestion. Seven, rest after every meal. You need to digest. Number eight, don't eat after sunset if possible. Number nine, you should only be eating what you can eliminate in 18 to 24 hours. And number 10, you are what you eat. So thank you very much for joining me today on today's podcast. And we're approaching July 4th, so try to stay calm. And hopefully you won't have unexpected fireworks, which put not only people under stress, but most unfortunately dogs and cats. So I always like to stay, if I have pets, which I do, I like to stay with them just to help them feel more secure, because the fireworks are really, really unnerving for them. And if you could just kind of not react to it, they probably won't react very much. If you get all nervous and jumpy, they'll get nervous and jumpy. And just try to hang out with them and stay calm and hug them, because the compression really helps them. You know, sometimes I think they sell these compression jackets for dogs. You know, instead of putting on a jacket, just kind of hug them and show them that everything's going to be okay. So, Sat Nam, have a beautiful holiday weekend, and I'll be podcasting with you shortly. Bye.